from the little letters in the back of the New Testament, just before the book of Revelation, comes the letters of John to the churches. From 1 John chapter 3, we'll read our focus passage today. From 1 John chapter 3, on page 1900 in the Bibles in your pew. 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. It's always too big a task to try to say something about Christmas in a message like this, because it's so deep and rich. Jason read, what did you read, Jason? I don't see it here. Yes, it is. It is here. Pardon me for going to your, where are you, Jason? For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He'll reign over David's throne, over his kingdom forever. That's our brother. That's our brother. That remark, you have a brother, hits me very personally. I remember in 1955, I was 5 years old, and in Holland, where we lived at the time, children were born at home with a midwife and so on. My father came downstairs and said, in Dutch, but he said, you have a brother. I remember it. You have a brother. And that as a five-year-old kid, that was quite something to me. But I can't help you grasp the greatness of this just now. To say to you, you have a brother, what does that mean? I know we have ancient text from the Hebrew Bible where God says through Moses to his people, and then later on, say a prophet like Amos, who says, you, out of all the families of the earth I have known, you. God's always tried to embrace his people as his family. He says, I've called you my son. Oh, Israel, my son. But it never clicked. That family bond was never quite there. Our God did not succeed in persuading people well enough to be his family folk all from earliest on. But we have a brother. Well, what kind of mystery is that? You think of all the religions of the world, and this is simplifying, but most of them ask you to reach into the heavens, to become something other than ordinary human, and to move towards God in a way that takes you out of being an earthly kind of person with ordinary human kinds of ways, and to reach up into the deities. the mountains where God lives. You can name them, all the religions. They all have that trajectory. We need to go to God to be in his holiness, to rid ourselves of everything, to purify ourselves, to reach into the family of God, to be held by those bonds that deity may have. That's our task in the world. That's why Christmas is so deep and so different. You have a brother. A brother came to you from God. That's hard to fathom. For instance, you would say, well, why would he? Why would God do it that way? Why aren't the other religions right about that? That we need to, do all we can to be sure that we're good enough for God so that we can reach into his heavenly place and be with him that way. But instead, he comes to be one of us. Right? That awkward, strange thing about Christmas, that Jesus was born in a place for animals. And not just a stable, by the way. These were caves. Shepherds brought their sheep away from the dangers at night into caves, into just hewn up places in the rock, or natural caves. And they would just stay there with their sheep in the dark, but in caves, a stable. That's probably where Jesus was born. Not anything fancy places with good lighting and clean straw. Mostly just a pretty miserable, smelly place for animals. You have a brother. I've a puzzle, of course, always at Christmas to try to help you grasp this. I don't grasp it so well myself. But I do remember my father coming down the stairs. I can still see it now. You have a brother. Now, this is not something that I share easily with you, but I know you a long time. But I'll tell you how my brother was born. My brother was born at home in the bedroom of my parents. And when we got the chance to look at him, my little brother lay there with his arms broken because he had been born breech, and there were no seats. His birth was tough, and so as a 5-year-old, I was so puzzled by that. I have a brother, but he came into the world with broken arms. He had splints on him already, and there was a lot of crying from my mother's part, as too, of course. So my brother came into the world as a suffering little baby, in some sense. Probably not aware of it, but I was as a boy, certainly asking my parents, what happened? And they didn't tell me then exactly. But just to be thankful for my brother. That was their call to me. So the family of God is a little like that, isn't it? This birth of this child comes into, well, as we said, it comes very clearly. I want to make sure you understand it. It was born in a lowly place, not with wealth or glamour or power or significance, but stuffed into a place where animals are kept because that's the poverty of the thing. That's the bleakness of the thing. You have a brother born that way. Why do you believe this today? Do you? Maybe you should ask that. Do you believe this? Why do we believe this today? That's how he came, and that he came to be your brother. It's a quiet Christmas moment now. Why do you believe it? I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 27. It's a crucial point. It's a Christmas text that I didn't print into the program, But I'd like you to look that up with me so that you'll remember how it is that you believe in this Jesus to be your brother. Matthew 27. As you probably know, Matthew's gospel is very brief in the Christmas story. He just sort of announces it kind of quietly and quickly. But Matthew does other things with Jesus. Each gospel writer does it. This is Matthew at verse 27 of chapter 11. Someone shout out a page so we all get it. 15:14. This is why we believe this. All things have been committed to me by my Father, says Jesus. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That's why you believe in Jesus as your brother. Now, it's an awkward faith. It's an awkward faith. Because if you go back to your chapter, First John chapter 3, it says at the close of that verse, of that section, all who have this hope in him purify themselves. It says he is pure. So remember, it's not about how pure you make yourself or how comfortable you are with the faith or how well you figure this out or how holy you make yourself or how hard you try. Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. That's what's happened to you. The God of the universe lavished his love on you. And so you believe. Oh, you may believe with great frailty. And when doubts enter in and great compromises and not the purity that you would like to have. But his love is lavished on you. You aren't here this morning in this church without that lavished love on you. See what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Now, the thing about being a Christian then, if that's the essence of Christianity, to have it revealed to you by the Son from the Father, that you are his child, that you are have kinship, that you are in the family of God, then you need to work that out each day. Each day, you have a brother. You have a brother when you're driving in your car. You have a brother when you're in your beds, when you're at your work or sitting around, entertaining or being entertained, with whatever that might be. Got to think about that. With what you're saving for or what you're spending, how you're living. You have a brother. You have a brother. And this is a brother who cares for you completely. How does that man? Once again, Jason. A wonderful counselor. A mighty God, and the mystery then, he's even called the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's our brother. Now, my brother with the broken arms when he was born, because he was breech, turned out okay. But he was an earthly brother in a way that we all have earthly brothers if you have one of those. Good guy. But he was not perfect. We got into trouble together. I caused it for him. He caused it for me. But both my brother and I have a brother. Like you. You have a brother. And he is the one who has demonstrated to you that God has lavished his love on you. It means that you can live fearlessly for the future, truthfully, cautiously perhaps, worrisomely as we do as Christians, but fearlessly in that your brother will care for you. He is this wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. You, says God in the ancient text, of all the families of the earth I have known. And now, because Jesus is our brother, God calls all humanity to be in his family through Jesus Christ. Ancient texts help a lot. Music and worship helps a lot today. Everything helps today to make this so. But the deepest part, of course, is that they have revealed it to you. Only the Father knows the Son, and only the Son knows the Father, and the ones to whom they reveal. You. You have a brother. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, how may we know you? How can we genuinely live as your folk? How can we accept that we're part of your family, that you take us in as your daughters and sons? Is it that we live so in such a pure way? Is it that we do so well with you? Is it that we try so hard or do perfect worship or perfect living? Is it that how, Lord? What happened in that stable? What happened in that stable, that probably ancient cave of smelly animal dung? And that's how your love was lavished on us. Oh, mighty God, our Heavenly Father, we call you Father because you now are in Christ. We're in your family. Through Jesus, our brother, you take us in completely. Through Jesus, our brother, we have hope in the world. Through Jesus, our brother, we have ways to live now that are practical and Christmas-like. Like we practice in our brother's name, forgiveness, kindness, humility, the gifts of your Holy Spirit. We practice those things because we have a brother. We give you all the thanksgiving of our hearts today on Christmas Day. So God, but make every day the day when we say to ourselves and to others, we have a brother. In his name we pray. Amen.